Hello, the following podcast is brought to you with the help of the LMU Ultimate Frisbee Team. We are actually pretty good, so I would recommend buying a custom disc for only $10. Now, onto the topic, financial crimes by state. We will be focusing on two countries, North Korea in the current day, and Germany in the 1930s. First, I will be talking with an expert on North Korea, Connor Kusi, a senior electrical engineering student.
Hi, Nico. Always a great time to talk about finance and economics, am I right? Anyway, North Korea sure has been a big player in the cyber industry recently.
Well, let's jump right into it. North Korea has become a strong cyber threat and has started sending organized hacking groups to gain information and money. Is that right?
That's right. The Lazarus Group is a government-sponsored organization and has had a number of incidents traced back to them in the past decade. They have attempted to hack multiple global banks and other organizations, succeeding a few times. The most daring scheme in recent years was an attack on the Bangladesh Central Bank, where they tried to steal $951 million.
Wow, that's a heck of a lot of money. Why are they even trying to steal it in the first place?
Well, the attack actually only ended up getting them $81 million due to quick defense. They have been focusing mainly on obtaining money to finance their cash-strapped government.
So, aside from the Lazarus Group, are there any other self-run organizations that try to hack independently of the government?
Not really. Internet access is not granted to many citizens in North Korea, mainly reserved for elites and international visitors, and they also control their population very closely, leaving no room for any self-run groups. The thing that really makes North Korea different from other countries that engage in cyber attacks is their focus on making money through their actions.
So what other ways do they gain money aside from hacking banks?
North Korea also directs a lot of hacks on civilian computers, such as the WannaCry ransomware in 2017, which encrypted user data and forced them to pay in cryptocurrency to get their information back. These computers, while compromised, can also be used to mine for cryptocurrency, netting more money for the government.
What about the cryptocurrency? If we know they're getting it, can't it be confiscated by big governing bodies?
Not exactly. Typically, the North Korean government uses a lot of proxies through various countries, so it's hard to trace back to them. It's only when they make big mistakes that the US government and other governments are able to determine they were the culprit. This is also their way of turning the stolen money into fiat money or usable currency, like we talked about in class. Another way they get money through cryptocurrency is by hacking into other exchanges. For example, they stole millions of dollars from two exchanges in South Korea and attempted to attack more exchanges.
That's insane! We can't do anything about it?
Well, we can and have. The US has issued sanctions on North Korea and refused to lift them until they demilitarize and get rid of their nuclear weapons. That is one of the main reasons they are so low on funds to begin with, and are forced into trying to get around it with cryptocurrency. In fact, when the US changed the $100 bills in 2013, that was in reaction to a North Korean counterfeiting operation beginning in approximately 2004. Hundreds of millions of counterfeit dollars have gone into circulation, both hurting the US and helping fund the North Korean government.
Counterfeiting sure sounds like risky business. It seems like some governments have been trying to fund their ventures through illicit means for a long time. Germany was trying to do it while rebuilding after World War I with their MEFO bills. In fact, we have an expert on this topic with us tonight, Suvam Sabat, a freshman AIMS student. Suvam, can you give us a brief introduction on what exactly these MEFO bills are?
Of course, Nico. So, the MEFO bills were introduced by the German government in 1934 via the central bank at the time, the Reichsbank. The whole operation was overseen by Haldemar Schacht, the president of the central bank, and this was done to rearm Germany while avoiding the limitations set by the Treaty of Versailles.
Wow, Suvam, sounds like this Hjalmar guy was up to no good. Tell me a little bit more about how these MEFO bills were produced and distributed.
Okay, so these bills were distributed by a shell company called the Metallurgische Forschungsgesellschaft, or MEFO, which was created as a front for the Reichsbank. The bills were given to contractors, who would then turn them into private banks in order to get their money back. Even though this would seem very unsound, many companies were desperate for work due to the Great Depression, so these bills seemed a good way to ensure that their investments into Germany would be paid back. These IOU notes were never ever paid back, as the MEFO bill scheme ended up as a giant government-run Ponzi scheme, in which money from new contractors was used to pay for the older contractors. This allowed the government to use more money while not alerting the League of Nations. At the end of this process, the German government racked up more than 12 billion Reichsmarks in comparison to the 18 billion raised normally. And at the end of the war, Haldemar was later tried at Nuremberg, but was later acquitted.
Sounds like no matter the era, governments are looking for ways to rake in the dough through whatever means necessary. We saw how North Korea hacks global banks and crypto systems to obtain funds for militia research, and Germany used a front to raise illegal war funds to start and fight World War II. In order to prevent history from repeating itself, it looks like we should take some more drastic steps than simple economic sanctions. When it comes to financial state crimes, leave it to the enemies of the state.